Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends here on Breadbox Media. I am delighted this week to welcome to the show a beautiful woman of God and someone I'm happy to call a friend in real life. Sarah Christmeyer is a Catholic author, she's a Bible teacher, a speaker, and she shares a special love for Lectio Divina and journaling as ways to draw closer to Christ in Scripture. Sarah is the co-developer and founding editor of The Great Adventure Catholic Bible Study Program, and the co-author of more than a dozen books on Bible studies, including her very latest, Becoming Women of the Word, How to Answer God's Call with Purpose and Joy from Ave Maria Press. Sarah is an adjunct faculty member at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in Philadelphia, and serves as a board member of the Malvern Retreat House, and also in Pennsylvania. And her beautiful blog, you can check it out at comeintotheword.com. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm really glad to be here.
I just promoted you to the faculty member of a cemetery rather than a seminary. So how's that for an auspicious introduction?
That's awesome.
So funny. And I know since we're friends, I'm going to be able to get away with that. But I'm just really happy to have you on the show. You and I have conversed about this work before, but it's really fun to have you on my podcast to take a second look at Becoming Women of the Word. And Sarah, before we jump into the book, I always like to ask this opening question of just that you share a little bit more of your journey and your story, where you are right now in your spiritual journey.
Wow, not a lot of pressure at all there.
I know it may be a long story, so maybe choose like just something that you think is most significant that you could share in just a couple minutes.
Well, I guess my spiritual journey has been going on for a long time, just as I have. And lately, I guess it's changing a little bit in that rather than having to trust God for myself as much, maybe it's an additional thing of having to trust God with one's grown children. So that's kind of a new aspect of learning to trust God with other people and not just with your own. So that is...
That's a great place to start. Now, you're a wife and a mom and a convert to the faith. How many kids do you have?
I have four children. four children and two, a daughter-in-law and a son-in-law, and I have four grandchildren.
Wow, that's so amazing. I don't have that blessing just yet. You never know when it's going to come, but I think it probably just gives you a whole new fullness to your relationship with your family. So that's a great thing. Now, Sarah, I've been following you for years and I've been such a fan of your writing. And so I was absolutely delighted when I learned that you were going to be partnering with Ave Maria Press to create this beautiful new book. Becoming Women of the Word came out in 2019. The subtitle, again, is How to Answer God's Call with Purpose and Joy. And I think that what you've created here is just such a dynamic and an interactive and really warm way to start the new year with the possibility of, you know, journeying with these women through Scripture. Tell us a little bit about how this particular book kind of was conceived and what you had in mind when you put it together.
Well, in its very beginning, it started out just being, you know, a book about women of the Bible. And as I thought and thought about it, one of the things that I'm always trying to do is to help people to know that they can trust God. And one time somebody asked me, they were sort of frustrated, you know, how come you have such trust in God and you believe that he can do these things? And I realized that the combination of really knowing the Scriptures well and knowing kind of what God has done, what he's done in the past, what the way he has fulfilled his promises and been faithful to the people of Israel and so on through the years. But that combined with watching him in my own life and growing up with having these wonderful stories from my own grandparents and aunts and uncles and my parents about how God had been faithful to them, those stories seemed to me a lot similar almost to some of the Bible stories. And to me, there's just no doubt that God is the same today as he always has been. And I've had such abundant proof of that in my life. And I have started to realize that a lot of other people don't have that. So I wanted to share that. And as I looked at the women of the Bible, and in particular the Old Testament women, these were some of the very first people in the world who got to know who God was and who God worked with to show them his faithfulness and his love and so on. And so if we read their stories, it's just, we get this great inside look into why God's trustworthy and how we can follow him. So that's a long way around saying I just wanted to have a vehicle for getting that out to people.
And one thing, I mean, I always have associated the name Sarah Christmeyer with scripture, with the Bible, because it's through your work. Long before I knew you in person, I used your work to get to know the Bible better myself and to dive into God's word more deeply. And so I think this book is kind of, you know, a unique kind of projectile from some of the work that you've done in the past. Now, I want to look at for a minute the crafting of the title and even the book cover itself. You call this Becoming Women of the Word. And for the men who are listening out there, maybe you can adapt this to your own your own needs. But what does that really mean? And why does the book cover look the way that it does? Maybe you can describe it for us and tell us about why that design is so so effective for what you're trying to do in the book.
Yeah, I was actually very, very pleased with the cover. It was a hard one to come up with. Becoming Women of the Word, we tried all different color covers with women on it, you know, women of the Old Testament and so on. But the one we ended up with has a picture of a desert on the front of it with a tree growing in the middle of it. And to me, that tree really typifies or exemplifies what it means to be a woman or a man of the word. And I take the picture from both the first Psalm and also Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 17, where the Bible talks about a person who really trusts in God and who meditates on the word of God until it's really transformative, as being like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. So that even if drought comes, even if the storms of life come and so on, it still bears fruit. And in our own lives, it's when we're really plugged into the Lord, you know, through the sacraments, obviously, but also through prayer and through scripture, where we hear from God and can converse with him. That's when we are rooted deeply so that we can withstand those storms that life brings. Because God doesn't just pull you out of all the storms. You know, they still come, but he can. If you're deeply rooted in him, then you have the strength then to withstand it. And so that to me is what it means to be a woman or a man of the word, somebody who the word is part of to the point where it's strengthening and transforming and living through them.
It's interesting that
that was why the cover.
Yeah, when you begin to live in the word that way, I mean, I am not a scripture scholar. I deeply love the word, and I try to spend the first parts of my morning contemplating the daily lectionary, just the readings that we'll be doing at Mass that day. Mm-hmm. And I found so often in recent years that exactly what I need for my day is there. And one little prayer practice that I do in my own prayer life is to take, you know, a line or two from whatever the scripture is of the day and just to, you know, to note that in my journal and to write a little bit about what that means. But God is so good in that, you know, it randomly, and I think it's because our hearts long for this, we long for this unity with his purpose for us. that randomly, you know, exactly what I need each morning will be there. And mm-hmm. that's a gift. Now, you've looked at these women of the Old Testament, and I guess I want to ask, I mean, you begin with the obvious, you begin with Eve, but how did you decide who to feature in the book, and who are a few of your favorites in the chapters that you've written here?
The way I decided who is, I guess I started out with my favorites, but then as I began to think about them, I called it also, I think on the cover it says it's a spiritual journey through the Old Testament. And I wanted to start at the beginning with Eve, who was the first person who kind of lost her faith in God. And then from then on, we have God appearing to people and people figuring out who God is and learning to trust him again. So I walked through the main people who are pretty much the main female characters in the Old Testament. But I also noticed that they all point in some way to the Blessed Mother. And for years, I've been teaching, you know, an overview of scripture through the Bible timeline that shows how mainly the men lead forward. You know, you start with Adam and you follow the bloodline to Jesus Christ. And it's pretty much a male bloodline, and you have all the covenants and so on and all these wonderful men who foreshadow Christ. But beside most of them is a woman, and she's not just there. There are actually ways in which these women foreshadow Mary and the role that she has in the New Testament. And I just sort of started to bring that out in the book, but that was definitely one of the reasons that I chose them and have am continuing to develop that.
So I wanted to go through for our listeners the names of the women that are incorporated into this. We begin with Eve. We go to Sarah, Leah and Rachel, Miriam, Rahab, Deborah, Ruth, Hannah, Esther, and Judith. And you have a beautiful postscript, and I'm going to circle back to that later on. But I think one of the chapters that's been very meaningful for me in the book is the chapter on Rahab, which is not somebody that I really knew. I'll admit to it in my time spent in the Bible. But maybe you can use that chapter as kind of an idea for describing what a typical chapter looks like and how, you know, you invite us to consider the lessons of this woman and your own lesson in our faith journey.
I think that's a great one. And let me just remind myself how I started that.
Hang on. So it begins actually with talking about the communist takeover of China in 1949.
Yeah.
And the fact that your mother's parents were Christian missionaries in Shanghai. And, you know, you begin here with personal story, which is something that reiterates through the chapters. And I love that because right away we're drawn into story, which is what we have in the Bible. But yeah, so jump off from there.
Yeah, so I started each chapter with a story of either from my own life or from a woman who has been instrumental in my faith, who I've learned a lesson from. And I tell the story, and then that brings up a theme that I carry through the story of that particular woman of the Bible. And then after that, I talk about how do we then carry on, you know, what's the legacy that we can take from these women, and how do we apply it to our own life and then pass it on. So that's kind of the structure of each. And with Rahab, the chapter title for the Rahab one is that God is in control of the storms of our lives, which so often, you know, we find ourselves in a variety of storms, but I chose the storm of war to actually illustrate it. And my grandparents were in China during the communist takeover, and they had young children, and it was a very scary, scary time. But my grandmother, there were just several episodes in which her faith gave the entire family faith and gave them strength. And one of the, one of the episode that I talked about was when they're all kind of huddled in the living room and a huge storm comes up. It's a natural storm with wind, and I guess it was a typhoon. And she just went to the windows and threw them open. And she said, "This is my God's storm," just exulting in the fact that God is in control, whether it's a natural storm or the storm of war or anything, that God is in control. And my mother took that from her and passed it on to us. And I thought of it as I was reading about Rahab. Rahab is a woman who lived in the city of Jericho at the time when Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho, as the story, as the song goes. But she's the one that the spies go to and end up hiding out on the roof of her house. And I love her story because from her vantage point, her entire world is about to end. You know, Joshua's armies are coming in, and everyone in Canaan knows, according to Rahab, just how God has acted on Israel's behalf in bringing them, you know, free from Egypt, bringing them through the Red Sea, in helping them against other enemies and so on since then. And they're really afraid. And so she welcomes those spies and tells them, you know, I will save your life if you will save mine. And really, she reaches out in hope based on three things. She knows who God is. She knows that even though her country has all kinds of gods that they worship, that Israel's God is the God of above all of heaven and earth. She knows what he's done in the past in acting greatly on their behalf. And she knows that he's promised them the land. So who he is, what he's done, and what he's promised. And those things give her the faith to hang on and put her neck out and risk her life in order to save these spies. And that, of course, is what does save her life and probably gives them faith as well.
It's,
I talk about the two things together. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it's just, it's such a compelling story. And I think most of us can look at periods in our life where we're called to sort of trust, you know, through great challenge. There's a paragraph in here that, with your permission, I'd like to read just because it really touched me. You say, this is on page 64 of the book, you say, "Who is your God? In whom or in what do you put your trust? Our God, unlike the false gods of Canaan, isn't limited to sending water, controlling floods, or prospering bank accounts. He isn't a God of our own making, or a deity to bribe with gifts. He's not a cosmic watchmaker who then left us alone. He's not an energy field behind the universe. He is, quote, God in heaven above and on earth beneath." That's from Joshua 2:11, as Rahab attested. "He's the God who puts up with our faults and shows mercy again and again. He's the God who died for us and who works tirelessly to bless us." What we have in this book is, you know, these time-honored stories, but presented through the prism of your faith, Sarah, and you kind of become our companion as we journey with these women. I really, really, really love it. So I guess, and one other part of the book is that at the end of every chapter, you have these questions for reflection. Now, how do you suggest maybe that people who haven't picked up the book yet, how might they journey with this book? Especially, you know, I think a lot of us have as our New Year's resolution, like pray more, or read the Bible more. So how would you suggest that people pick up the book and use it as part of that journey?
Well, I think there's probably a couple ways to do it. One is for people who just like to do that in the comfort of their own home by themselves. And I usually fall into that camp. Just to read it, but read it with your Bible at hand and maybe a journal at hand too. Because there's nothing like reading the Bible actually for yourself. You can listen to other people talk about it, or you can read what other people write about it. But having had that introduction, then to actually read some of these stories yourself, and then to look at the questions that I've put in the back, or to think up your own questions, and just write down how it is that God is speaking to you. Maybe even ask those women to pray for you. But to write things down. What is the Lord saying to you? And what is something that you can do? I mean, have you seen God acting in your life in some similar way? Is there a question you have? Is there somebody you know that you could pass this on to? Because one of the beautiful things, and I think especially for women, is that we, in relating to other people and so on, so often are in a position to be handing things on, just like I got these things from my mother and my grandmother and so on, to be able to pass them on. So write that down so that you remember. And then the other way is to read it together with a friend. And that's the thing. I didn't initially necessarily think about that, but I'm finding that most of the people who come up to me and tell me they're reading and enjoying the book, they say, and I went and got one from my sister, and now we're talking about it every week, or oh, I'm doing it in my book club. And something about the ability to talk over the experiences with another people is very helpful in making it, just incorporating it into your life, into your experience, and passing it on to other people.
That's a great gift. Now, there's very much a theme of spiritual motherhood in all of your work and in this book, too. And one thing that I found was a delightful little addition to the book was the postscript that you write. That really is, it's just such a beautiful thing. And in this, of course, you turn us again to Mary, but you begin the postscript by sharing the story of... Well, I guess it's not where you begin, but you talk in the middle of the chat, in the middle of the postscript, about a pilgrimage that you took, and one of your relatives who was on the pilgrimage that maybe was experiencing the Blessed Mother in a different way than you or I would at this point in our journey. Why is this postscript, you know, significant to the work that you've done in the book?
Ah, what a great question.
Well, and I'll tell you what I think about it, because I think that you launch off in the postscript by sharing an example of a piece of artwork in the crypt below the Church of Dormition. Yep. On Mount Zion. And I found that I wanted to immediately put the book down and go look up that work of her. Tell us a little bit more about that, and kind of, you know, how these women, like the cumulative experience of these women ultimately points us to Mary.
Yep. So in the Church of the Dormition in Mount Zion in Jerusalem, actually I was just there not long ago, there is a statue of Mary. She's just lying there just at the moment of death and at the moment when she's going to be received up into heaven by Jesus. And he is up above her in a beautiful mosaic, kind of stretching down to her, waiting for her to just come up to him into his arms, it looks like. And all around him are these mosaics of Old Testament women. So this was another thing. I wanted to make sure that each one of them was in the book, because there's Eve, and Mary's, of course, the new Eve. And so Eve is in that picture up on the ceiling there. She's almost refusing the forbidden fruit, and the snake is behind her. But she's looking down at Mary. And then there's Miriam, who's Moses' sister, and she's got her tambourine. And Jael and Judas, both of whom killed an enemy by a blow to the head, which is what the new Eve is going to do. Ruth with her sheaf of wheat, and then Esther with her queenly robes and her scepter. Queen welcoming the Queen of Heaven. So there, I just pictured all these women in real life, I guess the realest life up in heaven, standing around and welcoming Mary home when she came up to heaven. And what a wonderful reunion that would be of all these women who had their lives kind of prepared the way for Mary, and then here she comes. And I thought that was so, so wonderful, especially thinking of Mary as being the quintessential woman of the word, you know, because she's the one who said yes to the word of God. She heard it, she received it, she pondered it, and allowed it to become flesh within her. And that's what a woman of the word is. That's what we want to be. So the story that I told about, it was about my uncle. He came with me to the Holy Land, and I was a little worried because he's not a big fan of Marian doctrine for the most part. And it was a Marian pilgrimage, and I was just worried about how this would go over. But he was fine. And then we went to the Church of the Assumption, and he didn't want to go to Mary's tomb at all. He's kind of sat by the wall and just watched. And he told at the end of the week of his experience sitting there, as he watched this little old woman kind of walk up to a picture of Mary. It was a painting on the wall. And she just kind of lay her head up against Mary's breast and stayed there for a little bit and then went away. And he said it showed him for the first time how Mary is a person and a mother, mm-hmm. and not just a set of doctrines, which is what Protestants often think. I thought it was so beautiful that here's Mary and she takes us to Jesus. And I don't know, that's what it was all about to me.
Yeah. And the poignancy of those moments, I think it really is a beautiful place to leave this book. And I'm personally hoping that there's going to be a future one that maybe looks at New Testament women.
There will be. Working on it.
Hooray. That's great. Well, this book, again, it's from Ave Maria Press. And Sarah, one other thing I wanted to ask you about is your speaking, because you're a regular, speaker, and I had the great blessing of hearing you speak at an event this last summer and just always so moved by your work. How can people, if they wanted to consider having you out to do a retreat or give a talk at their parish or diocese, how do you interact in speaking engagements and how can people get in touch with you for that?
Well, on my website, which is comeintotheword.com, there's a page that says speaking, and if you go there, there's a request form. So that's probably the easiest way. You could also email me and do it that way, but if that request form will have all the questions that you would need to answer.
That's great. And when you go over there, you will get to take a look at a lot of the different talks that Sarah does. She's got a great kind of menu on the website that shows you the entire scope of what she does, and certainly not just for women. Lots of those can be adapted to any audience. I'm delighted to hear about that you're working on a next project. What is there anything else coming up that you want to share with us in terms of your work?
I think because I'm writing that, that is mainly what I'm working on at the moment. thank you.
I know how that
it's
is.
All consuming.
That means that everybody needs to be praying for you, because I know the pressure of a book deadline and a project like that, and how, especially when you've had something that's been so well received as this book has, Becoming Women of the Word, it's going to be really anticipated. So that's an awesome thing. We're going to have links in our show notes at the website where you're listening to this so that you can click on over to comeintotheword.com, which is Sarah Kressmeyer's beautiful website and blog. And I'll also have links to her Facebook and Instagram and just about everywhere that you can follow her. And we'll definitely have a link to the book, Becoming Women of the Word. Sarah has a very vast bibliography of books, so we'll make sure that you get a hold of all those super easily. You can just follow the show notes to take a look at that. Sarah, any kind of closing thoughts before we let you get back to work?
I would just like to encourage people. Sometimes it's easy to think, oh, these women in the Bible were really great women, or the women that I wrote about, that I knew in my family or whatever. But really the women that God used to form his people, Israel, they're just ordinary women like you and me, and we're the women that he's using to form his family right now. And he's calling us and he enables us. He equips the people he calls. Excuse me. So I would just encourage you to step out and not be afraid to follow him with purpose and joy and let him work in you.
It's a beautiful reminder. Again, the title of the book is Becoming Women of the Word, How to Answer God's Call with Purpose and Joy. And as we begin a new year and we redouble our efforts to give God our yes, this is a great companion for the journey. Sarah Christmeyer, thank you so much for your time and especially for sharing your heart and leading us closer to Christ through your work.
Oh, thank you, Lisa.
Well, friends, that is it for this week's episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. I definitely hope that if you've enjoyed the conversation, you will share it with a friend. It's always easy to do that. There is a share button right down there on the bottom of the device that you're listening to. You can also definitely give us a review over at iTunes. That helps me to improve the show so that I can continue to bring you the very best guests and share great stories. And I'm really, really grateful for those of you that have continue to pray so faithfully for our family. I just ask you to continue those prayers and be assured that that you are in my prayers as well. I hope until we're back together again that you have an awesome week. God bless, friends. See you next time.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.